Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Last year, you may have made some smart decisions, and you may have made some not so smart decisions. Like, maybe you had a little too much confidence in that one crypto exchange. The good news is making smart financial decisions is easier than you think. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the weekly know-how you need to get ahead. Sean and Sarah, the hosts of Smart Money, break down the latest financial news and give you honest, objective money advice. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast today.
Maybe you don't agree with me if your bracket is already trashed. Or maybe you do. It might be a rite of passage in March. It wouldn't be nearly as much fun without the chaos. In fact, I'm pretty sure that if there was less chaos and more chalk, meaning the top seeds were advancing without any trouble or without any major upsets, with no big red X's on your bracket, you wouldn't have nearly as much fun. Now, I can't speak for whatever money you might have lost, but there's money to be gained with upsets, right? If you are into that type of thing. March Madness underway with a bang. Incredible. And I, for one, am so proud of the Furman Paladins. I know that they have a large swelling, and getting larger actually, fan base in South Carolina. And that we had the distinct pleasure of getting to know their 12-month odyssey through the eyes and the perspective of their star player, Jalen Slauson. He joined us earlier in the week. I told you at the time, he's one of the best college talkers I've ever encountered. He was so open about how challenging these last 12 months have been. And how they use the heartbreak of a year ago, how he decided, along with one of his teammates, who's also a fifth-year senior, how they decided to stay in school rather than depart for the NBA, even though initially they put their names out there for the draft. They wanted this. They wanted an opportunity to do exactly this. They wanted to be part of the madness, to taste the thrill of victory after having suffered through the anguish and the agony of defeat. From my family perspective, this is actually kind of funny. I might have been the only person, and in fact, I'm pretty sure, I'm the only person who picked Furman to beat Virginia. I did it in both of the brackets, the After Hours Bracket Challenge as well as the family bracket, because I was so taken by the conversation with Jalen, and I always pick upsets anyway, so I generally tend to pick upsets where I feel emotionally attached. And after being so excited to share that conversation with you, I decided that's it. I'm going with Furman. So I wake up. I watch the game on delay. I didn't know it at the time, right? So this is what I get for checking my phone before I watch the game. It was one of the early games. I wake up before I realize what's happened, before I get to my DVR, there is a family text chain that is already going because my niece went to UVA, and because of her attachment to UVA, very often the family picks the Cavaliers, picks the Hoos, as they call them, in the brackets. So Deanna's texted, my other niece has texted, my brother, my mom's husband. The family text chain is all over the place. And that's how I found out that UVA once again was upset. This is three times in 4 years by a double-digit seed. Now, of course, the fourth year was their national championship in 2019. But gosh, they have suffered through some painful exits. So if you don't know the Furman story, I would encourage you to listen to the interview that I did with Jalen. It's just good human interest and compelling if you are a fan of the stories behind the sports, behind the events. But also, he's so much fun. And you need to know. You need to get to know these Furman Paladins. They are worthy of this stage, to be sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That conversation, I actually retweeted it on Thursday morning because I wanted more people to hear it. And then I retweeted it again after they won. So I texted back with the family chain. I just interviewed their star player a couple days ago. My brother goes, Furman's? ? Yes, Furman, star player. Really good stuff. Although I also had to say, I'm sorry, Deanna. she was sending a bunch of crushed emojis, if you will. So yeah, check out our social media if you want to find that conversation, or just go to our podcast. Easy to find. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Happy almost Friday. It's been a week. It has been a week, I tell you. Not a whole lot of sleeping. A lot of hours devoted to March Madness, but also to NFL free agency, which is now, of course, underway officially. We're not tampering anymore. Now we're actually taking names and signing contracts. And to that end, a different kind of March Madness coming up, 54 minutes from now, 54-ish minutes from now. A first-time guest on the show, and I'm really excited because while many of you are red zone shills. Okay, that includes producer Jay. He loves red zone. I'll ask him about the game that he watched or didn't watch, and his response is always watching red zone. So I know that I'm in the minority here when I tell you I don't actually like red zone. I feel like my brain is on speed, whatever that might feel like. I mean, not personal experience, I've ever tried it, but what people say, so I hear. To me, it's too much. I prefer more time on specific games. I prefer to watch actual games as opposed to hopping all around from this place to that place to this place. And in lieu of that, also the fact that Red Zone is expensive and not included in my cable package. But I really do prefer the version on NFL Network, which is called NFL Game Day. And the reason I prefer it is because they usually take more time on particular games. So they will go back and not only will you get to watch a longer sequence, but they will give you more of the plays leading up to the plays that got you into the red zone. And here's the best kept secret about it. It's flipped within minutes. It's flipped within seconds of it happening on the field. So they have incredible producers and directors. And while I may not see it exactly live, I'm telling you, NFL Network is a great tool. Their NFL Game Day is one of the ways that I am always up on what's happening because I see it right away. It's a little calmer for me on Sundays. And I love NFL Network Game Day. And then the way that they have the various analysts that kind of explain what they're seeing and react to it has also been great for my prep on Sundays. Rhett Lewis is one of the hosts of NFL Game Day, and I've wanted to have him on the show for quite a while. So he's going to join us from Los Angeles coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll look at the NFL's version of March Madness. Big fat bullies. That's what they are. They can't go away. Big fat bullies. We can never miss you if you don't go away, NFL. But you know, it's not only urban sprawl, so I say that a lot. Once the NFL takes over some section of real estate, it's never giving it back.
And that's fine.
It's actually not fine. The number of people who sent me messages with the word fine on Thursday was awesome. And not just that, but producer Jay and I are dumb. Most of our text messages on Thursday, including some version of fine or not fine or everything's fine totally or it's going to be fine or it's totally fine. Even when it wasn't totally fine, when Arizona blew up producer Jay's bracket. Jay,
yeah.
Are you ready to buy the baseball tickets?
Not yet.
You're not conceding yet?
Not yet. I had not the greatest opening day, but not so bad.
If it makes you feel any better, I didn't either. I don't think I had Arizona going to the Final Four, but I definitely did not have a great day. I think I picked all of the 8-9s and the 7-10s completely wrong.
You picked Furman. You can't pick Furman in 2 of 2 brackets and say I had a bad day. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty awesome. Maybe I'll take a screenshot of it so you all know it's for reals. Although, in the After Hours Bracket Challenge, you can see what everyone else is doing, so it's not a big secret. So we're glad to be off and running in March Madness. I know the next 3 days, well, the next 2 days come when we're not on the air, and so it's, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's a missed opportunity. I'm not volunteering to work Friday and Saturday nights, but it is all happening so fast in college hoops and these 4 days that by the time we get to Sunday night, when we're back here, the field will have gone from 64 down to 16. And so really this is our only chance to talk about the frenetic early days, the opening rounds that take place on Friday and Saturday, and or I'm sorry, on Thursday and Friday, and are such just so completely all-consuming. So I love this Thursday night. I will admit it's a lot to keep up with. And we've got everything from upsets to big dogs flexing their muscles to a couple of scares. We've got the reaction and the audio from the NCAA Westwood One Radio Network. That's where we get all of our highlights from. So very soon we will let you hear what it sounded like. These two major upsets. Did you know it's the third straight year in which a 15 has toppled a 2 seed? The third straight tournament, the 11th time overall, and it's happened before, courtesy of Princeton. Raise your hand if you remember. You can actually raise your hand. I'm raising my hand. I know producer Jay does not because he was not on the planet. I remember watching Princeton upset UCLA in the mid-90s. It was a 15 over a 2. It was Pete Carril, legendary coach for Princeton. 1996 against a team also from the Pac-12. It probably wasn't even the Pac-12 then, but a team from what is now the Pac-12 in UCLA. The Princeton offense, it was legendary in basketball circles. And it was a monster upset. It set sports fans on fire. It was the talk, not only for that entire tournament, but it was the talk for years. And every time a 15 upsets a 2, we get that video. We get that walk down memory lane. Well, a little bit of deja vu, not exactly the same scenario, not the same players, not the same coach. In fact, Pete Carril passed away not that long ago, so he didn't get the chance to see his Princeton Tigers once again shock the world.
And so Princeton, a third chance now to take their first lead of the game. Langborg will handle for the Tigers. Langborg dribbling right down the lane. Puts it up on the run. Banked it in! Princeton has taken the lead with 2 minutes to go. 56-55 Tigers. First lead of the game for Princeton. Bounces and drops in. And that may be it. One more free throw for a Womo, but it's already a 2-possession game. The Wildcat players are stunned. Absolutely stunned. The horn is going to sound. The Princeton Magic is alive and well. The Princeton Tigers upset Arizona. 15 over a 2. 59-55 is the final score. The Tigers will advance to the second round.
There are so many reasons why this is stunning. By the way, CBS Sports Network is rerunning it right now. Or maybe they're rerunning. No, they're actually running the game, it looks like. Probably commercial breaks taken out. Did you know the Arizona Wildcats were up 10 with 8 minutes to play? Did you know the Arizona Wildcats did not score in the final 4 minutes and 43 seconds of this game? And how about this for nerd alert? Just like 1996, the Princeton Tigers scored the final 9 points of this game. to pull an otherworldly upset. What? That's weird, right? And yet so true. So true. A late 9-0 run. They made their free throws. They played defense. They took advantage of mistakes by Arizona. Now, Arizona had a couple of point blank shots that were missed. Offensive rebounds, they could not get the ball to drop through the hoop. I think it's more heartbreaking that way when you know how close you've come. But to go scoreless over the final 4 minutes and 43 seconds, there's no room for doubt in this one. Princeton outplayed Arizona going toe-to-toe down the stretch.
I've been blessed. You know, I've had a great start to my coaching career, you know, at Gonzaga, then coming to Arizona. And, you know, there's going to be some bad with a lot of good. And I'm built for it. And, you know, this is going to be a small setback. I'm just sad for these guys that they don't get to experience how special an NCAA run is, because these guys were built to do that. And we ran into a good team today that made all the right plays at the right time, and we weren't able to separate from them enough when we had opportunities. And you know, that's what happens when you are able to stick around a basketball game. They made enough plays down the stretch, and we didn't. And I'll tip my hat to them. I mean, they're a hard team to play against. I knew it was going to be a tough game. You know, I just know that program has a ton of pride, and, you know, they're well coached and have great fundamentals, and that showed today.
There's going to be some comparisons from some of you, I'm sure, to Coach Kirill, but I want to be really clear that this group did this, and that was a really long time ago, but this group did something special for its university, for the fans, for the former players, and for one another. We played our best basketball last weekend, and you know, we weren't in the tournament until Sunday at 2 o'clock, and a really hard-fought game. We got all the way out here. I prepare these guys to win, it's such a tough group. We are imperfect, but a very, very, very tough group.
Do you know it's the first Ivy League win in the NCAA tournament since 2016? This is not just humongous for the Princeton Tigers. It's monumental for the Ivy League, who only recently instituted its own conference tournament. Remember, it used to be the regular season champion would move on. This year, both the Princeton men and women won the Ivy League tourneys. And here are the men who not only stun Arizona, the Pac-12 champion, who attract attention for their school, a tiny school in New Jersey, but who also can raise the banner for the Ivy League. This has such an indelible impact on recruiting. A victory like this, and college basketball, similar to college football, because of the transfer portal, is more and more open. The talent is spread much farther out now around college basketball. But the Ivy League is always at a disadvantage because, A, the entrance requirements for these schools are so high academically, but, B, because they don't offer scholarships. They don't give scholarships to their athletes. These schools are expensive. And so to get in, it's a double whammy. You have to have the money, and really there's not a lot of scholarship money offered by the schools, though you can certainly always get scholarships and grants and loans in other places. But you have to have not just the academic excellence, but also the ability to pay for it or to borrow it. And yet, a win like this works wonders for the entire conference in terms of recruiting. We'll hear more from Arizona and Princeton as we move forward. Already setting the baseline for what is sure to be an incredible 4 days of March Madness. Now, we did have some top seeds who had no trouble. We had one top seed who had a lot of trouble. And we have our new favorite, the Furman Paladins, who get their second ever NCAA tournament win. But like I said to Jalen when he joined us on the show, and as we were talking about, this is their first tournament win for anybody who's associated with the program right now, coaches or players, because none of them were alive the last time Furman had a victory on this stage. How about that? It's what I love about sports. Even when you know there's the potential, it just never gets old. From the category of you can't make this stuff up. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It wouldn't be nearly as much fun without the chaos. Oh, actually, you know what I tweeted, Jay? It wouldn't be nearly as much fun with the chaos. Whoops, gonna have to redo that one. It wouldn't be nearly as much fun without the chaos. Don't find me on Twitter, please. And also on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. I'm such a dope. There's a lot going on this week, okay? We're just getting started. Happy Almost Friday to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Shovels it to McGee's left wing. McNeely gets beat off the bounce. Floater right hand. Left end line is good. 31-26. Paladins within five. Double. Bad pass. Tip taken away by Shedrick. Heen slammed to the floor. To the rim. Gardner missed. Follow. Dunk Shedrick. The largest lead in the game for Virginia. Up 11.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Furman trailed almost the entire game against the Virginia Cavaliers. But, of course, you got to play every single one of those minutes. Wow, talk about stunning. It was a different type of a finish from what we got with Princeton and Arizona, because the Arizona fans could see it coming. When their team goes a minute and a half, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, hasn't scored, cannot buy a bucket, and Princeton scores 9 points in a row, it's not as though it was a stunning finish. It was a stunning outcome, but it wasn't one of those that stops your heart, right? You can see it building. The dread is building. And the facial expressions of the Arizona fans at that game, oh, they knew it was coming for the final couple minutes. Completely different in what was the other major upset of the first day of the NCAA tournament. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I pick Furman. Oh, yes, I did. Still trailing, though, with the time running out.
Bounces back to Clark, 10 seconds. He is double. Slap that. Prayer pass. Picked off by Heed. 5 seconds. Pegues, right wing for the win. Yes! 2.2. And timeout, Virginia. A right wing three by J.P. Pegues. After the team that never turns it over gives it away. And it's 68-67 Furman. Chest pass Beekman over midcourt. His right wing deep three. No good. The Furman Paladins shock Virginia and secure their first NCAA tournament win in 49 years. 68-67. The madness is back.
I'm so sorry, Deanna. I love you dearly, but this was awesome. Crushing, obviously, for Virginia. And we'll talk about Kihei Clark. Jay, were you able to find any audio from him? We need to. Okay, good. I don't have it on my list here, but you'll need to put it up on the screen. This young man who turned the ball over with 5 seconds to go. Okay, so he is trapped on the baseline. There's defense, of course, draped all over him. He is normally reliable. Did you know that Clark is Virginia's all-time assist leader? He's got more than 700 assists in his college career, more than 700 assists. And his assist to turnover ratio is one of the best in the country. This young man takes care of the basketball as though it is precious. But he's trapped on the baseline and he tries to make this ill-advised pass. I'm not sure what he saw. He had two guys in front of him. He tries to go up and over and across to half court. That's a tough pass to make when no one is standing in front of you it's tough to make it accurately. And not only was he positioned awkwardly, but he couldn't see. And the way he chucked it, bad decision. And yet, in March Madness, bad decisions get compounded sometimes. And this one was for Kihei Clark. I feel terrible for him. I'm psyched for Furman and Bob Ritchie and Jalen Slauson and the others who went through their own heartbreak 12 months ago when they lost at a buzzer beater in their conference tournament and missed out on March Madness. So they understand exactly what Virginia is feeling because it was them on the wrong end of it in March of 22 when Chattanooga hit a buzzer beater in their conference championship and they were the ones left lying on the court in pain and agony. So this time it's Virginia, but it's the thrill of victory for Furman. And so with 2.2 seconds to go, JP Pegues, who's a sophomore guard, had missed three consecutive triple attempts before the one he made with 2.2 seconds. He nails it from the right wing. Then Furman just has to wait out those final 2 seconds. There was actually a ball from Virginia that banged off the rim, but didn't go. And their 12-month odyssey from heartbreak to redemption is complete. First NCAA tournament win for Furman in nearly a half a century. First, though, I want you to hear from Kihei Clark. Again, he's Virginia's all-time assist leader. And this is heartbreaking because he's going to relive it over and over again.
Call a timeout. Probably maybe could have threw it to Ahmed on the right wing, maybe. He was open, just couldn't see. It was a good trap.
How have your teammates been able to pick you up through this?
They're my brothers. Tough way to go out like this, but.
We should have called a timeout or could have gotten a tie-up. We had it, and it unfolded. I think had he gotten tied up, he would have called the timeout in there. And again, I have to see how it played out.
Thought we had the game won, but didn't turn out that way. I'm sorry.
it's all right. Are you surprised, given Kihei's experience, that that's how the game turned out, played out?
It's not him. We all missed free throws this game. We all missed some layups and missed some open shots. Game shouldn't have been at that point, but it was. Just have to live with it, I guess.
So you hear the frustration and just the agony for Caden Shedrick, but he does say in there, it's not on Clark. I mean, sure, it's a surprising finish, but it's not on Clark. And actually, Shedrick had 15 points in this game and was one who did not miss a lot of shots. But overall, the Cavs were 2 of 12 from beyond the arc, and they missed 5 free throws. In a one-point game, they missed 5 free throws, which is a big deal. I did hear, or actually I saw, a report from inside the Virginia locker room that Clark, as a veteran, as an upperclassman, stood there and answered every single question that was asked of him for minutes. He just stood there and let everybody ask their questions and face the music, so to speak. But yeah, it's tough in that moment. This is why analytics cannot tell you exactly what's going to happen and when. They don't measure what happens to the human heart or what goes through our minds or doesn't go through our minds in moments of pressure and stress. He is Virginia's all-time assist leader. He's one of the most sure-handed point guards in the country. And he makes a pass like a high school kid would do in a panic. And so I feel for him, but amazing for JP Pegues. 2.2 seconds left. Didn't allow the previous misses to deter him.
I feel like those are moments that I've craved my whole life, and I feel like I'm built for. So as soon as I got the ball and I seen a shot attempt that I had, I knew that all I could do at that point was just rise up and shoot it. And I had full belief that it was going in, and it did.
11 points, 4 assists for him. Our friend Jalen Slauson, 19 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists. And there is really no measuring the value and the worth of this victory for Furman.
I'm not sure how many NCAA tournament games Furman has won. Zero, two. This is our second. All right, shout out to our SID. This is our second NCAA tournament win. You know, so that's big time for us. And then this team's done a great job making history all year. So, you know, Saturday is going to be another chance to make history. And this team has performed the best under the brightest lights all year.
I know that voice. I know that voice. I'm so glad we had him on the air earlier this week. What a privilege to be able to talk to him and tell his story. Also, he said the reason he picked Furman over some of the other schools that were recruiting him is because Bob Ritchie was crazy enough to give him these schemes, both offensive and defense, that would allow him to play the five spot, right? So it's a rare thing that a 6'8 guy is going to play a five spot, but he loved what Coach Ritchie presented to him. He felt like Furman's campus and the atmosphere was the right place for him. And so he decided not only to go to Furman, but to stay there as a fifth year senior. And Bob Ritchie's belief and vision that they could get to this point, well, it played out in his fifth year. What did he tell his team before this game?
Don't have any expectation of what this game's going to look like, okay? Just go out there and play the possession. And understand, there might be some discussion that, hey, we're going to have to crawl back from behind. But you know what? If we get a lead, that's going to be just as mental in that process to not worry about, hey, we got the clock needs to run. Like, you just have to stay in the moment. And, you know, I thought right there that celebration had me a little bit nervous. But fortunately, as the old ball coach used to say, the ball bounced our way tonight.
The ball definitely did. Although in the case of J.P. Pegues and his shot, it didn't touch anything. Didn't bounce at all. It just went right through the center of the cylinder. So these are your two big upsets, your two big headliners on the first round or the first day of the opening round. Princeton as a 15 seed. Furman as a 13 seed. Pretty incredible. So I don't know how your bracket looks. Marco Belletti is here in studio. I couldn't care less about the rest of my bracket. I just know that I had Furman in both of my brackets, only because I believed in them after Jalen told me their story. And yeah, I think the rest, my gosh, I might have picked every single 8-9 and 7-10 game wrong, but but I got Furman.
All right, you got one. That's a big one.
That's right. It's a big one. So it wouldn't be nearly as much fun without the chaos. That's true. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We'll look at some of the top seeds, the big dogs, and how they fared on Thursday. It's Thursday. It's almost Friday.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Bradley down the lane, tried to lob it. It's caught by Pringley, had to come down to earth, then goes back up, scores it, and he's fouled. What a play by Nick Pringle, and he'll try to complete the three-point play. He wants to put one more up. It's on the way. It's good. It doesn't matter, but Ross Williams gets a three at the buzzer. Alabama wins it 96-75. The number one overall seed cruises. They jumped out to a 9-0 lead, never looked back. And they are on to the round of 32 in the Big Dance.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Two of the number one seeds, Kansas and Alabama, both scored 96 points on their first opportunity to taste March Madness in this 2023 tournament. So you have Alabama making fairly quick work of Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Remember, the Islanders had come out of the first four, so they did get a win under their belts, but they run into a buzzsaw in Alabama. Strangely enough, Brandon Miller, the one who not only has been a star for them all season, but has been embroiled in this controversy over the murder that was committed by a gun that he transported to the scene there in Tuscaloosa. Remember, his former teammate Darius Miles is now obviously kicked off the team, but is behind bars charged with capital murder. Miller did not score in this game, actually went scoreless in 19 minutes. So that was a bit of a note. But otherwise, Alabama took care of its business. They shoot 15 of 33 from beyond the arc, so they had that going for them and were able to use their size and their athleticism to put the Islanders in the rearview mirror. They shoot 47% from the floor, just an overwhelming advantage for Alabama. But Nate Oates, head coach, not satisfied.
We'll be better against Maryland. We're going to have to be, or we won't get a win. But great to move to the second round. None of these tournament games are supposed to be easy.
I think for Nate Oates and for any coach who's got a number one seed and the pressure and the spotlight, also the bullseye on your backs, yeah, you really can't rest, especially when you see a 15 win and a 13 win in the same round. How do your brackets look? You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. I know that we had a real good showing in the After Hours Bracket Challenge, and that's even before the final push, the final couple hours between when we got off the air and when the games tipped just after noon Eastern. And so at this point, we get emotionally attached to our brackets, but I would think right now we would be in favor of more chaos, because more chaos means more fun, more entertainment, and it's not madness. It's not March Madness if it doesn't cause us to either X up our bracket with all the big red marks or cause us to kind of watch it in shock and disbelief, right? That, I mean, that's the beauty of it. I would feel shortchanged, almost cheated, if we didn't get some of these double-digit seeds that pull off these great upsets. So I mentioned Alabama. Also looking at Kansas and the way that the Jayhawks performed, they had the 96 points against Oral Roberts. Against Oral Roberts played Duke. We'll get to that in a second. But against Howard. And for Kansas, the big news is that Bill Self is back with the team this week, but is not coaching, or at least didn't coach on the sidelines in this game. But they shoot better than 50% from the floor. They also only missed two free throws in this game. And right, size, athleticism, and explosiveness, and just having so many different ways that the team can hurt you. All five of their starters in double figures, a couple of other players off the bench who nearly got to 10 points, just overwhelming Howard. And I think the big question around the Jayhawks right now is, what about Bill Self? Well, I happened to catch an interview, and it was posted on Jayhawks Twitter, their basketball Twitter, in which Bill Self himself, oh, that sounds funny, in which Bill Self was giving an update on his health.
Oh, I'm feeling much better. I've got more energy. I've been with the team all week, you know, on a limited basis, you know, in practice, but I'm there every day, and I'm doing a lot of sitting in practice. I've never really done that, but I'm getting better at that, I guess. But I feel better. But still, I'm not ready to coach the game. Norm's going to handle all the stuff the same way he handled it the first four games in the season, and the Big 12 tournament, in which we started out 6-0. So I'm very confident with that. And so you know, but I'm getting better every day, and hopefully. Over the next 48 hours, you know, if things go well today, I can progress to the point where, you know, hopefully I can be out there the full time.
It was good to hear him. Good to see him. If you don't know, he spent a good portion of the conference tournament in the hospital. And while there's not a whole lot of talk about what's going on with him, it's been serious enough that he still isn't on the sidelines during the games. But the team has been fantastic, even in his absence. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Love them or hate them, the Duke Blue Devils, they're back.
Lee for Roach. Ball screen left, rolls with it from Filipowski. Pass tipped by Thompson, back to the passer at Roach. 8 seconds to shoot. Down the lane, changes hands, finishes lefty. Roach has been excellent, and it's 46-23. Fall away, Proctor mid lane, left is good. It is clinical domination. It has not been in doubt for Duke since the opening tap.
Really proud of the effort. Proud of these guys right here. They did a great job for, you know, five of them. It's their first NCAA tournament game, and you really couldn't tell, and I think that's a credit to them and their competitiveness and their ability to rise to the occasion.
Okay, maybe it's just me, but it's still a little jarring to hear John Shire as the head coach of Duke talking about victories in March. After years and years and years of Coach Mike Krzyzewski, it's still me getting used to it. But the Blue Devils are on a roll right now. And as we talked about last week, John Shire is the first Duke product ever to win a conference championship as a player and now as a coach. And it's his first year. And I don't know, considering what happened with North Carolina, they obviously scuffled a bit in the wake of Roy Williams' retirement. The way that John Shire has been able to bring this team together, again, with a lot of young guys, because that's what happens with the Power Five schools, the best schools, essentially. They will recruit. They'll recruit the best, the elite, the brightest, the McDonald's All-Americans, but they lose a lot of those guys to the playoffs, or sorry, to the NBA after their postseason. So Jeremy Roach matches his career high with 23 points, and Duke is able to build a big lead and never look back in what is Shire's first NCAA tournament game as the head coach of the Blue Devils. And yeah, putting a lot of faith in Roach.
Jeremy's he's been on a tear, right? He's just done, you know, for me it's more just his mindset. You know, I think the scoring, the playmaking comes with it. He's never rattled. You know, he's playing both sides of the ball.
The start that we got off to, 11-0 start, I mean, that's a huge thing that we talk about. Starting the game off right, that first 4 minutes is very important. But, I mean, I was just happy that we had the lead and we was getting multiple stops.
So 10 straight wins now for Duke, and this is what you want. Regardless of whether it's college or the pros, you want to be playing your best basketball. You want to be, this is such a millennial phrase, the best version of yourself come March. And so the madness does not nip at the heels of 5-seed Duke, who will next take on the 4th-seeded Tennessee Volunteers in the East region. It does not touch Kansas or Alabama. Now, Houston scuffled a bit, and I don't really believe in luck, but they were fortunate to survive. We'll get to them coming up next hour. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Goalie gummies get you so close to your goals, you can actually taste them. The trick? Simply start with bite-sized steps, like Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies with added B vitamins for daily health, or Goalie ashwagandha gummies to help you relax, restore, and unwind. Mmm, tastes like wellness just got a whole lot better. And when goals taste this good, it's easy to achieve them. Goalie, taste your goals. Learn more at goalie.com today.
What's up, everybody? Nick Costos here. College basketball is about to get crazy, and BetQL makes it easier than ever to cash your bets. BetQL analyzes every single tournament matchup so you can succeed with your bracket pools and individual game bets. Which teams will pull off an upset? Who's going to cover the spread? BetQL handles all the hard work so you can win more consistently. Head to BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial. That's BetQL.com. BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial.